We're here with BearingDrift.com, and we're with my congressman, my friend, Congressman Ben Klein. He's just finishing up his first year in Congress. Ben, congratulations on a first successful year. Most successful freshman in the minority delegation in Washington, getting bills passed.
Thank you.
I wrote an article about you, and some folks liked it, some folks didn't. But I said you're continuing the legacy of Congressman Goodlatte. And you're doing, he's your old boss, but he is continuing that legacy of successful work, constituent services, doing your job right, doing what elected officials should do. Tell us, how does it feel to be doing your work successfully? I mean,
well, it's something I worked hard at in Richmond to learn the process and learn the players and try and be able to hit the ground running. My work for Congressman Bob Goodlatte for 8 years back in the 90s was very helpful. I started out with him when he was a freshman in the minority, so there was some similarity there. And when we set up the office, I set it up a lot of the same way that Goodlatte operated in terms of his constituent services, his focus on that, his focus on getting around the district and making sure he was very responsive to constituent concerns.
Well, you have been so laser focused on constituent services. You brought a lot of that Goodlatte team over to you.
All of them.
We can't thank you enough for that. As a constituent, thank you for doing that, because institutional memory is a real thing. So,
for example, when, you know, I know what to do in my own district. I know when the festivals come up in Rockbridge, Bath, Augusta, Amherst, in my old state house district. But across the 6th district, there were a lot of new events and new people to meet and new things to learn. And when I was back in the district for a work period for a week, you know, in the spring, just after taking office, Jennifer, who was on the Goodlatte scheduler, she knew exactly what events were going on. So she knew what events to schedule me for and where I needed to be and what I needed to be doing. So having that institutional knowledge, not just of my own, but of the staff, was so crucial.
So we want to talk a little bit of impeachment stuff. I know you get sick of it.
We are all sick of impeachment, but happy to talk about it.
Well, you talked about, I can't remember the quote, but I retweeted it, that there's no facts, no evidence. You know, you're a former prosecutor. What are you seeing as a prosecutor that, you know, your prosecutorial knowledge, what are you seeing? Does Nadler have the evidence, or what's?
No, and he has really done a disservice to the Constitution and the rule of law and the system that we have in place, where the Constitution's very clear. You have to have high crimes or misdemeanors, bribery or treason, to impeach a president. And they have been searching, the Democrats have been searching for 3 years for a reason to impeach this president. And it stumbled through Russia collusion, it stumbled through obstruction of justice, the Mueller investigation, they knew it was gonna be their silver bullet, and the Mueller report came out and showed no collusion and no chargeable obstruction, and the Mueller came in and gave a poor performance, and it was a DOA, you know? And so they had to find something new. Their base refuses to be satisfied with that. And so this phone call came out, this whistleblower who had worked in the Obama White House, all of this whistleblower report came out, and they seized on that. And before they even had any evidence, before they even knew what the transcript of the call said, what the whistleblower report said, Nancy Pelosi was ready to have an investigation in the Intelligence Committee and move toward impeachment. So they really did start this off with the goal of removing this president and reversing the election for whatever reason they could find. Schiff did a disservice to transparency and open government by moving the hearings behind closed doors. It was very frustrating for all of us on judiciary, where impeachment is supposed to reside, to watch another committee, not just watch another committee take control of impeachment, but take it away from judiciary and not even let judiciary members attend. So the evidence that's come to me in the form of this Intelligence Committee report last week, I just got it last Tuesday. We've read it. We've read the Republican report. We're going to hear from staff about it on Monday, but it's done a grave disservice to the process.
So with all this being said, what are Republicans trying to do to actually accomplish something? I know Nancy Pelosi is not trying to do anything of merit right now, but tell me what you're up to. You know, what bills have you gotten through and what are you supporting? So,
well, we've worked hard to kind of have a two-track strategy where we're going to fight the Democrats when they push a liberal agenda, whether it's impeachment or whether it's the very liberal pieces of legislation that they have put forward on a variety of issues, whether it's blowing open our election system where the federal government is taking control of our local elections, requiring public financing so taxpayer dollars go to fund candidates, these types of radical ideas actually would do harm to our election system, and we have to fight them. But at the same time, there are changes to the laws that need to be made that can be done in a bipartisan way. I've always tried to achieve that balance at the state level. If you look back, most of the bills that I introduced are a package of conservative reforms that some of which got through, but most of which didn't. And then half of them were pragmatic, non-partisan changes that just needed to be made. This is what I've done here this year. So this year, we had four bills that I either led and sponsored myself or let a Democrat lead with, because it is a Democrat House after all. They deal with things like bankruptcy reform or reforming the membership of the American Legion, helping our veterans. And so these are bipartisan things that if you develop the trust with Democrats, even on the Judiciary Committee, for all their partisan rhetoric, some of them will work with you behind the scenes to get things done, and we were able to do that on several bills.
It's wonderful to hear. You know, you were a little bit of a fire breather in the Virginia House of Delegates, and
chair of the Conservative Caucus.
You're always proud of that, and you know, to hear that you still want to make some bipartisan, you know, we at least want to try to reach out our hand and talk to them, even if their leadership won't. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I've watched in my 16 years in the State House, I saw other fire breathers who didn't strive for that bipartisan accomplishment as they fought for those conservative reforms. And what you find is when they're done, and we all finish at some point our tenure in elected office, and you look back and you say, what have I accomplished? If all you did was put forward conservative proposals that never went anywhere, well, then I don't think your career will be considered as successful as if you had tried to make incremental change to improve the system of government that we have. You know, you can decry government and in many of its forms, but at the end of the day, it has to exist in certain core areas, and you try and make those work as efficiently as possible. You've got to reach out, because in Virginia especially over the last 20 years, we've had bipartisan government, we've had divided government, and we've had to work. Democrats and Republicans working together on areas just to make sure the trains run on time.
So, and the thing about that is, talking about effectiveness, I want to say that there's a difference between certain member, your Freedom Caucus guy, there's a little bit of difference in some of those, and then there's people like you and Morgan Griffith who get it done, who get bills passed, who get something done, and you're heard. Your voice is heard by leadership, but at the same time, you're heard by, you know, the Freedom Caucus. That's effectiveness. That's what I like about you and Morgan, and Denver, you know.
Well, I am a conservative first and foremost, and so I strive for conservative reforms first and foremost, and I feel most comfortable with other conservatives. So the Freedom Caucus is a a good place for me to be, because they are at the tip of the spear when it comes to fighting for conservative principles. The swamp is deep and it is broad and it is very resistant to change. And so to have a group like that shining a light on all that is wrong with Washington is healthy. If we didn't have that and all you had were the John Boehners and the Paul Ryans work in the mainstream and not fighting for those reforms, then we would continue down the path we're on, which is a bad path. I mean, it's a path of debt, it's a path of deficit, it's a path of stagnation. Our test scores for our children are falling apart because of things like No Child Left Behind that. And we need to turn things around. And I hate to overuse the phrase drain the swamp, but it's a great phrase because when you think of it that way, the more you can move power out of Washington into Richmond or other capitals, or if it has to be in control of the federal government, move it to another part of the country so that it's not under control of the lobbyists, and it's not under the control of the bureaucrats, and it's not under control of those who have sat there for so long just trying to do the same thing to collect a check. We've got to make some real significant change, or we're going to not be able to reverse course for our future generations and the future of this country. We've got to do it.
Well, you know, we're in your old House district. We're in your congressional district. It's just, the 6th district's always fun. Politics in the 6th district's like an episode of Days of Our Lives. I mean, you know, characters and all.
Got its controversies, that's for sure.
But you've kind of struck your own path and found your own way and ran in the craziest convention ever. But, you know, we're very happy for you, and the work you're doing is excellent. And I'm proud of you being in Congress for me, doing what I've wanted. And, are you excited about running for re-election? Are you excited about getting back on the trail?
Maybe? Sure. And having run every 2 years for the past 16 years, this will be my 10th, I think, election cycle. And it's always fun to the ebb and flow of the campaign season where I've had my off year, although it was interesting to watch the state house elections in my off year from the outside. And watch everybody try and keep the House majority, and I'm very disappointed that we weren't able to. The outside money just really overwhelmed us, and we need to chart a new course, to retrench and to plant seeds in areas where right now they're not friendly to Republicans, but we need to field candidates in places like Roanoke City and Arlington County and Richmond City and Norfolk. We just have to compete there. So to be able to recruit, I'm ready to pitch in. Let's find those candidates who agree with us on the principles of conservative ideas, why we are a Republican, because we believe in the marketplace, because we believe in families to solve problems, because we believe in neighborhoods to address concerns. We don't always look to government to solve our problems. We don't always look to the state. And that's what makes us Republican. Faith, family, community, those are the institutions on which our country will ultimately succeed and thrive. And so that's what we need to define, are people who share those values, who share those principles, and get them to not just sit back, but engage and run and be candidates, because a lot's at stake right now. The left, they believe in government to the point where they eat, sleep, and breathe it. It's what they think about when they wake up. How can I get government into all these different areas of our lives? They go to their jobs and they work to enlarge their scope of government. And we need to not just have politics for conservatives be one of several aspects of our lives. It is, but so is church, and so are social community groups and nonprofits and things like that that we all do, but we have to start making choices to engage on just as aggressive of a level as the liberals in politics. And so we need them to step up and be candidates. And so I'll help recruit however I can.
Well, and the big thing in my parting words is that, you know, I want government to protect me from foreign enemies, protect me from people here at home who might have to harm us.
Sure, there's national security, absolutely.
And leave me alone for the most part. Just leave me alone. Let me live my life. Let me do my thing. And that's the thing that, you know, these liberals don't get, is they want government cradle to grave, never to stop, never to relent. And I don't know.
The revolution that happened in 1776 was a revolution of the individual. We believe in the individual. The left believes in government to solve your problems for you. The mainstream conservatism, Republican philosophy, is that we believe in you. We believe in you to solve your own problems. We have faith in you. We have confidence in you to solve your own problems. And we want the structures of government to support that attitude, not to be some nanny state that solves all your problems for you and takes care of you from cradle to grave. And that's what Republicans are all about, and that's what we're going to keep fighting for.
Well, Congressman Klein, I know you've got to get around and go to the congressional lunch and do some different things, but I can't say thank you enough for the work you do. You keep fighting, give them hell, and keep doing the work that you're doing. We're so thankful for that. And I hope that you have a wonderful Christmas. Your kids are adorable. And so,
thanks. They're great. They're excited.
And you and I have something in common. We married way up.
Yes.
Elizabeth is a friend
most
of mine.
Successful men are successful because they married way up. That's a lot of guys I know have done that.
You and I are in that category.
Yes,
so
we are.
I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you, and we appreciate you being on with the podcast today.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks, man.